We begin the Karan Dav Misaf, the Shkalim Dav Tezayin. We begin on the third line down from the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous Dav. That is, we spoke about in the previous Dav, different opinions, what actually happened with the Aron after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. One of the opinions mentioned was that it was buried. Now, together with that, the Gemara lists a few different items that were buried together with the Aron. So the Gemara says, Mishen Nignas Aron, when the Aron, when the Holy Ark was buried, Nignas Imay was hidden with it, the following items. Tzentzenes Haman, that was the jug that had the mun inside of it, and that is all these different items that are mentioned with it were things that were put specially as a zikaron, as a remembrance for future generations. One of them was the jar of the mun that people should remember that all their pranas, everything comes from Hashem, anyways, just like the mun. Now, for the fact that it says by the Aron, Asher Vorid Lecha Shama, that I will meet you over there, and it says by the jar of the mun, Besen Shama, you should put it over there, Meloi Ha'omer Man. So we learn from Gzeir Shava, from Shama Shama, they're there to tell you just like the Aron was hidden, to, so together with it, that the jar of mun says there also that it was hidden with it too. The next item, Mitzloichis Shemen HaMishcha, and the jar, the container of the anointing oil. Now, that was also something that was kept, as the Gemara will explain later on, for generations. That was hidden together with the Aron. Now, that's learned out because it says, L'dere Seichem, by there. And it also says, by the Tzentzenes Haman, it says, L'dere Seichem, there too. So we learn generations from generations, just like the Tzentzenes Haman was hidden together with the Aron, so too was the container holding the anointing oil. Another item was, U'makli Shel Aron, the staff, the stick of Aron, Ufrachav, and had the blossoms on it, Ushkedav, and had the almonds on it. And this was by the incident with Kairach, that there was this, people were saying that Wahu chose Aron, and then they took everyone's from the Shvat and the sticks, the leaders, and it showed that Aaron's stick was the one that blossomed, has almonds, to show his sign that he was the one that was chosen. And that was also supposed to be kept there as a sign. Now we learn out because it says Mishmeres over there by the staff of Aron, says Mishmeres also by the Tzentzenes Haman, to tell you just like the Tzentzenes Haman was hidden away, which was also supposed to be kept for generations, was hidden with the Aron, so too was the stick of Aron. And another item that was hidden together with the Aron was the Argus Sheheshivu Pelishtim Asham Lelekei Yisrael. There was this container, this box, that the Pelishtim had returned their sin offering to the God of the Jewish people, which was when the Aron was taken into war and the Pelishtim took it captive, and then they were punished because of that, so they gave it back together with this box. Now this box, it says, Tesimu ba'argaz mitzida, you should put the box on this, they put it on the side of the Aron, so therefore we know that when the Aron was hidden, together with it, what was on the side of it was this box, and that's why it was hidden together with the Aron. Now the Gemara asks, mi ganze, who hid the Aron? We're saying all these different items were hidden with the Aron, but who hid the Aron in the first place? And then the Gemara says, Yeshio ganze, King Yeshio, he hid the Aron, and the Gemara asks, why did he hide it? So Kivin Shiroa Shakasim, once he saw this pasuk that was written, and that was when he decided he had to do tshuva for the whole entire Jewish people, because they came and they found the Sefer Torah open, and it said, Yoylech Hashem Oyscha, V'esmalkecha Asher Tokem Alecha, that Hashem will take you, the Jewish people, and your king that you have placed over yourselves, El Goya Shelo Yedata Atav Avasecha, to a nation that you and your fathers have never known, which means to say that they're going to go into Galus. Amad V'Ganzei, say when, and he hid the Aron because he didn't want the Aron to go into exile together with the Jewish people. So Hadahu Dechsiv, this is what the pasuk means when in reference to the fact that the Aron was no more because he had hidden it. It says, Hamavinim, he told to the Shevet Levi, that were the understanding ones, and the Vav is taking out of the Girsa, L'chol Yisrael, they were the understanding ones of the whole entire Jewish people, HaKadosh Hashem, that were holy to Hashem. He said, Tenu es Aron HaKadosh bebayis HaShabon HaShlema, put the Aron HaKadosh into the house that Shlema built. Ben David Melchiso, who is the son of David, the king of the Jewish people, which basically what he was saying was that put it over there because that's where it's going to be hidden. And that's according to one of the opinions on the previous daf. Ein lechem masa b'kasav, you're not going to be carrying this anymore on your shoulders. And as the Gemara explains, Amalehem, he told to the Levim, Im goylehu imochem lebavel, if the ark is going to go down together with you to the gullus of Bavel, ein atem machzir noyseh l'mekamim, you're never going to be bringing it back to its place, they're never going to let you bring it back. Ella, rather, what he told him was, now ata, go now, ivdu es Hashem lekechem es Am Yisrael, go serve Hashem your God and his Jewish people. But there's no more for you carrying the ark, because he had hidden it in the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Gemara continues, and this is going back on what we mentioned before, where we mentioned all the different items that were hidden together with the Aron HaKodesh. So one of the items was the Shemen HaMishcha, which was the anointing oil. And now, so therefore the Gemara expounds upon this anointing oil. So pitum shemen hamishkan, the compounding of the anointing oil, how it was made together with shemen, with oil, and it was made together with these different fragrant spices. So it says in the Psukim in Shemayis Perek Lamed, Va'ata kacha, and you take for yourself, v'gaymer, etc., v'kida chameshmeis, v'gaymer, and kida 500, which the total was, shein elef v'chameshmeis manam. That was 1,500 different manam. And the reason is because this mandamer explains the pasuk literally. As it says in the pasuk, you should take for yourself besamim reish, which were murderer chameshmeis, you take murderer 500 of those, and v'kinman besim achtzisa, you should take kinman besim, which is half of that, which means half of murderer, which makes it to 250. And you have what the pasuk says of kenei besim, which was also 250. And the kida, which we mentioned, which was 500, therefore comes out for a total of 1,500. That was the different manim that were used for the spices to make the shemen hamishka together with the oil, to give the oil that fragrant smell. Now, the Gemara explains that shemen zayis hin. It says that the oil that was made by Moshe Rabbeinu for the Shemen HaMishcha to anoint the different things, as the Gemara will explain, the Kehanim and the vessels, that was it was a hin of Shemen Zayis, which is a hin of Shneim Asr Luk, that was 12 Luk. Shebei Sholken Esikar, now this oil was where they had boiled the different roots of the Besamim that we mentioned, those 1,500 mana, which were used to make this, to give this a fragrant smell to the anointing oil. Dibre Meir, that's the opinion of Meir. Behudaimir says no. That they couldn't have done that, as the Gemara will explain, that would be impossible to have that little amount of oil to boil all these different 1,500 mana of besamim, because it would just disappear, all that oil. Rather, Behuda says, Sholken hayu b'mayim. First, they would take these roots of these spices and they would boil it in water. Then, v'nois and shemen al gabayim, then when they put the oil on top of the roots, mishahayu koylev sarech, then once the oil absorbed the aroma of those roots, hayu mevir, then they would take it off. Just like those who make these fragrant oils, as they make it, they don't go ahead and actually burn it inside of it. Rather, they take it and they just put they get the aroma inside of it. This is what the pasuk means when it says shemen mishkas kodesh b'gaimer, that this was the holy anointing oil. That's how it was made. So Tani, we learned Rabbi Huda bei Rabbi Loi. He said, this is going like the opinion of Rabbi Meir, that shemen hamishka sha'asa Moshe b'midbar, that the anointing oil that Moshe Rabbeinu made in the desert, there were miracles upon miracles from the beginning of how it was made till the end. And the reason is, as we said, there was a hint. From the beginning, it only started off with the amount of 12 log. Now, if you would just anoint the roots, forget about frying it inside of it, boiling inside of it, if you just would anoint the roots, there still wouldn't be enough oil just to go around and around all those 1,500 different types of mana. Now, halachas kama v'kama, most definitely, in this case, where it was boiled, sha'or b'ilea, where the fire absorbs some of the oil, v'eitzim b'ilem, the wood absorbs some of it, v'hayar b'ilea, the pot absorbs some of it, and yet still, in spite of that, u'memenu nimshuchu ha'mishkan v'chal kelev, they were able to anoint the entire mishkan, the tabernacle, with all its vessels, ha'shulchan v'chal kelev, the table that was in the Mishkan and all its vessels, ha-menorah v'chol kelel, the menorah, the candelabra, and all its vessels, u'memenu nimshecha Aaron Kohen Gadol u'banav kol shivus yimei hamilum, and they were able to anoint the Aaron HaKohen, who was the Kohen Gadol, and his sons, all the 7 days of the yimei hamilum, which was when they were introducing, starting off the Mishkan, and from that anointing oil, they kept and they were able to anoint all the Kohanim Gadolim of future generations and all the kings. And therefore, that must be a great miracle that happened by the Shemen HaMishcha. Again, like the opinion of Rabbi Meir, that that's actually what they did. But according to Rabbi Huda, it wasn't a type of a miracle in the sense of that he said that it was impossible that way, because he said that it would get totally absorbed into everything else. Rather, they would just take it and put it in and get the aroma and take it off. Now, regarding the Shemen HaMishka, this anointing oil, the Gemara says some halachas. Melech b'tchilam, a king that's becoming king the first time in his family, he's the first one in line, toin mashicha, so he needs to be anointed. Melech ben melech, but if he's the king, the son of a king, ain't toin mashicha, then he does not need anointing. My time, what's the reason that a melech, only the first one in line, he does the mashicha, but not a melech ben melech? So it says, in regards to when they were coming to anoint David HaMelech, it says, Kum Mashicheu, come and anoint him. Kizehu, because he's the one. Now the reference is, Zeh Toy Mashicha, this one needs to anointing. Ve'im B'noy Toy Mashicha, but his son does not need anointing, because then he'll be Melech Ben Melech. Aval Kohen ben Kohen Gadol, however, a Kohen Gadol, even though he's the son of a Kohen Gadol, afila ad asar deris, even 10 generations of Kohen Gadol, the son of a Kohen Gadol, Tarn Mashiach, he does need anointing. And that's learned out in the Gemara in Bavli that says, it says in the Pasuk, V'hakoyin ha-Mashiach tachtav mibonam, that the Kohen that's anointed, that's from the son of the Kohen Gadol, now the Pasuk should have just said, V'hakoyin she-tachtav mibonam, the one that takes over the Kohen Gadolah from one of his sons. What does it say, ha-Mashiach? Comes to teach this idea that even from his sons, that even if it's going to be up to 10 generations, the only one that becomes a Kohen Gadol is the one that gets the Mashiach, that gets the anointing. Now, however, the Gemara concludes, and so although we were doing all these different things to it, and we're saying about the miracles from beginning to the end, that it wasn't even enough to go ahead and even smear all these manas of Besamim, and yet still it lasted for the even for the future, for eternity. This is what it says in the Pasuk in Shemais Lamed, Shem and Mishchas Kodesh, a holy anointing oil, this should be for me, for your generations. Now, obviously, if it's saying L'Dor Yisechem, it's saying that this will last for all generations. That is, the old entire 12 lug is lasting forever, and that's miracles from the beginning till the end. Now, the Gemara continues on these halachas of Mashiach, of anointing. Ein Moshchin Hamalachim, we do not anoint, this is when we coronate a king, we don't anoint him, El Al Gabi Hama'ayin, only on by a spring. Shneim, like it says, the Pasuk in Malachim Aleph, that David HaMelech says that you should mount, you should put Shlomo, my son, on the mule that's mine. And you should take him down to the Gichin, which was a spring. And then Tzadik HaKoyin and Nasan HaNavi will then anoint him to be the king of the Jewish people. So again, you see that it should be done by a spring. Now, related to this, the Gemara says, Ein Moshchin Melech b'melech. What we said before was that we do not anoint a king the son of a king. And the Gemara in Bavli learns this from a pasuk that says l'man yarech yomim al mamlachtoi, that his days should continue on his kingdom, hu ubon of kol yom, him and his sons all his days, which means to say that it's inheritance. And since it's inheritance, one does not require a new beginning by doing a mashiach, by doing an anointing. Elam neha machlekes. However, the only case would be that it would be necessary would be because of a machlekes, because that there's an argument about who is going to be the king. And that is, as we just said before, where David said, take my son Shlomo down and anoint him, but we just said Melech by Melech does not need an anointing. So that is Neimanim Shel Shlomo. So why was Shlomo anointed? Because of the other brother who he was trying to become king. So because of that, they made Shlomo with an anointing to show that he is the Melech Yayish. Why did Yayish need if he was the son of a king? That's because of someone else that was trying to be king. That was because of his brother Yaakim, who is 2 years older than him, who he said he's supposed to be the king. Why did Yehu need a Mashiach? Again, because of Yairim. And that is, at the time when there's peace in the Jewish people, then you're right, then the kingdom is the Yerusha's inheritance, and then you don't need a Mashiach. You don't need an anointing. But when there's a Machlaikis, then there's not a Yerusha, it's not just directly inherited, and that's why we said that these cases need a Mashiach, because although they were Melech Memelech, but because in the time of Machlaikis, then one requires a new Mashiach. Now, the Gemara asks, on this that we said that Yehu had the Mashiach because of Yehoram, but Loichen Ksiv doesn't say in the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, it says, Ku Mashiachehu, go ahead and anoint David HaMelech, Kizehu, because he's the one. Now, the Diak, the inference is, Zetoin Mashiach, this one, which is called Malchus Beis David, the kings of Yehuda, they need anointing. Ve'ein Malchi Yisrael Toin Mashiach. However, the kings of Yisrael, which are the ten Shvatim, the other kings in the Jewish people, not the kings of Malchus Beis David, they do not need a Mashiach. And therefore, the question is that even if it were a case of Machlekes, as we're saying, that because of Yairim, that they had to go ahead and anoint him, but it doesn't make sense that we would commit Me'ilah in the Shemen HaMishra, which has a Kedusha because of Machlekes, if Malchus Yisrael are never anointed, because it's only by Malchus of Yehuda, of the Judea, not of the 10 tribes. Another question the Gemara asks is regarding this, that we said that Yehoyachaz needed to do an anointing, even though he was a Melech ben Melech. So we said, Yehoyachaz, why did he need an anointing? We said, because Yehoyachaz, his brother, was 2 years older, he said he deserves to be the king. But the question is, V'lo Yeshayahu Ganzai? Didn't, as we said before, who hid the Aron? It was Yeshayahu. Together with that, was the Shemen HaMishka, as we said before. Now, Yayachez was after Yeshayahu. Now, with what did he do the Mishicha if it was already concealed? Now, the Gemara will give one answer that will answer both questions. Hada Amar, what you have to say, both regarding the case of Yayachez and both regarding the case of Yehu, was Ba'afar Saman Nimshach, that they were anointed with Afar Saman, with balsam oil, and it wasn't with the Shemen HaMishcha, because in his days it was concealed, and in his, and he was a Melech Yisrael, and Melech Yisrael cannot do Me'il with the Shemen HaMishcha, rather they both did it with Afar Saman. Now continuing on this halachas of the and the segulas of a Melucha, how we do the Mashiach, we do it by a spring, which has that continuity, it has that strength that comes from inside of it. Another idea is, Ein Meshchen HaMalachim, we do not anoint kings, Ela Menach Keren, only from a horn, as the Gemara explains. Shaul v'Yehu nimshchu min apach, they were both anointed from a flask. Haysamachusan malchus avers, their kingdom was a kingdom that passed by, did not last. David u'Shlaima nimshchu min akeren, they were anointed, meaning the oil was in a horn. They were anointed from a horn. Haysamachusan malchus kayemes, their kingdom was kingdoms that lasted. That's the idea of a keren, again in contrast to a flask, and so too the same idea of a mine of a spring. Now another halacha the Gemara says, Ein Meishchen Kahanim Malachim, we do not anoint Kahanim that are kings. And the Gemara explains what's the reason for that. So Amr Reb Yehuda Ansundarya says, Al Shem, based on what it says in the Pasuk in Bereishis, Lo Yasur Shevet Me Yehuda, says that the scepter, which is the symbol of the kingdom of the king, should not be removed from Shevet Yehuda, which means to say, and it shouldn't be the Kahanim that come from Shevet Levi, they shouldn't be the kings. And that's why a Kohen should not be anointed as a king, because it's only from Shevet Yehuda and specifically not from Shevet Levi. Another source the Gemara brings, Amr B'chiyah Barada, Pasuk in Devar, this is L'man Yarech Yamim Amamlachti, so that he should have lengthy days on his kingdom, Hu Obanav B'Kerev Yisrael, him and his sons amongst the midst of the Jewish people. Now, Ma'aksiv Basir, what does it say after that? We're talking about the kings. It says, Lo Yeh L'Kanim HaLevim, it should not be for the Kanim HaLevim. Again, we do not anoint a Kohen to be the king, because it shouldn't be Yasir M'Shevet Yehuda, and it should not be L'Kanim HaLevim. So now the Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yechanan. Now the reason why the Gemara brings in this halacha of Rabbi Yechanan is to say that the Braisa, what we had quoted before, is not difficult according to what he's going to say. So Rabbi Yechanan says as follows, he says, Hu Yechanan, Hu Yayachas. Yechanan was the same one that was called Yayachas. And that is in Divrei Yom, it says that Ubnei Yeshio, the sons of Yeshio, the Bechor was Yechanan, Hasheni, the second one was Yoyakim, Hashlishi, the third one was Tzidkiyo, and Revi was Shalom. Now on that, Rabbi Yechanan is saying that Yechanan was Yayachas, and that is because Yoyakim and Tzidkiyo, we find that they were king after Yayachas. So obviously we see that Yayachas, he was Yechanan, who, as the Gemara, as the Pasuk calls him, he was the Bechor, he went first. Now that the Gemara asks, but Vaksiv HaBechor Yechanan, but it says in the Pasuk that Bechor, that the Yechanan, he was the Bechor. And then so then the question is, based on what the Yechanan said, that Yechanan was Yayachas, so it comes that Yayachas was the oldest. So how did the Gemara say before that the reason why they had to do the Mashiach was because that for Yayachas, was because Yayakim, his brother, was 2 years older than him, when it's not true? Yayachas was Yechanan, and Yechanan was the Bechor. So he was the oldest. So why did they have to do Mashiach? Because his brother was really 2 years older than him. And then the Gemara answers, truthfully, Yechanan was not the Bechor. He was not the firstborn. When they called him Bechor, it was Bechor Lamalchus. He was the first one to be the king. And truthfully, Yoyakim, his brother, was 2 years older than him. And again, that's why they had to do for the Yayachas, the Mashiach, because of the machlekes of his brother, who was really 2 years older than him. And therefore, again, that's why we introduced Rabbi Yechanan, to say that it's not difficult from the Braisa. So now another statement regarding these individuals. Rabbi Yechanan says, Hu Shalom Hu Tzidkiyo. Truthfully, Shalom was the same one as Tzidkiyo, which the Gemara asks about. It says in the Pasuk, Hagimel Tzidkiyo, the third son with Tzidkiyo. V'harvir Shalom, and the fourth son was Shalom. It mentions them as separate people. One was the third son, one was the fourth son. How does he say that they were really the same person? So the Gemara says that truthfully, Yeshua had only three children, three sons. Gimel told us, this individual who we're calling Tzidkiyo and Shalom, he was the third one in birth, but Dalad Lamalchus, he was the fourth one to become king. And that's because Yehoyachas was king first, then Yehoyakim, then Yechaniah, his son, who is truthfully the oldest, because Yehoyakim was the oldest, and then his son Yechaniah was the king, and then was Tzidkiyo, his uncle, only came after his nephew. Now the Gemara explains the reason for his names of we find different names that Tzidkiyahu was called, Tzidkiyahu or Shalom. So Tzidkiyahu he was called because Shatzidikul of Midas Hadin, that he justified the Midah, the characteristic of Hashem's justice. Shalom, his name was called Shabiyam of Shalom Malchus Beit David, because in his days the kingdom of Beis David was completed. Now the Gemara says Rish Lakish Amar, Loi Shalom Havishmei. Truthfully, his name was not Shalom, and we said he was only called that because it was Shalom Beis David. V'lo Tzidkiyahu Havishmei, and his name wasn't even Tzidkiyahu, and that was because he was matzik on himself the din. Ella Masanya, rather his name was truthfully Masanya, and this is what the Gemara says. Hadahu Dichsev. This is what it says. A pasuk in Malachim Beis, Vayamlech Melech Bavel es Masanya. That then the king of Bavel went and made Masanya the king. Doida, who was the uncle of Yechaniah, who was the king before him, tacked him in the place of Yechaniah. And then he went and changed his name and made it into Tzidkiyahu, but truthfully, his name was Masanya. Now the Gemara returns to the discussion that I was talking about in the beginning and from the previous daf regarding the Aron. So Amar B'yechnan, Be'amah shel shisha tvachem hoya ha'aron asur. So the Gemara has a machlekes, and the first opinion mentioned is Rabbi Yechanan says that the Aron, the Holy Ark, was made, its amas was made in the measurements of increments of six tvachim. That is, the amas were with the measurements of six tvachim each amma. Now, that the Gemara asks, Man Tana ba'amas shel shisha tvachim. Who is Rabbi Yechanan going like? Which Tana? That he's saying that the amas of the Aron were in the measurement of six tvachim. And that the Gemara says, Remeir, it's going like Remeir. Did not like learn the Mishnah Masechtas Kelim. That actually is a machlekes, and Rabbi Yechanan is going like Remeir. Because Remeir Amir, Kala amas hoyu bebenias. Says all amas in the Beis HaMikdash were medium-sized amas. And that means to say whether they were from the utensils in the Beis HaMikdash or whether they were from the structure, from the building, they were all measured with the medium-sized amas, which is an amma that's six tvachim each amma. Now the reason why it's called Beinis, the medium-sized, is because there were five tvachim amas, which are smaller amas, because they're made up of only five tvachim. Now, and that, according to everybody, is what the Amma Yisoid, the foundation of the Mizbeach, was, and the Amma Saiviv, which went around the middle, and the Amma of the Kronos, of the corners, of the top of the base of the Mizbeach, and that's the Amma of the square of the Mizbeach, that was the inside Mizbeach, as the Gemara Menachos says, that Ve'ela Midas HaMizbeach Ma'amas, that these were, as everyone agrees, were only five Tvachim Amas. Now, there were also larger size Amas, which was a half a etzba larger than the six tafachim amma, as the Gemara Masechtas Pesachim says in Daf Pei Vav, that there were two ammas in this part of the Beis HaMikdash called Shushan HaBira, which one of them was larger than the one of Moshe, which is called the six tafachim amma, a half a etzba. So that's why it's called the medium-sized amma, which are six tafachim ammas. So Remei holds that everything, besides those few exceptions, were the six tafachim amma. Behudaimer, he argues, he says, Amas HaBinyan, the Amas of the structure of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, for example, the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach HaOila, which is the outer Mizbeach, they were Shisha, they were six Tzvachim. But Shel Kelim, the Amas of the utensil, of the vessels, which is the Aron, which is the case that we're discussing, the Shulchan, the Mizbeach HaZav, which he was all movable, he holds they were Chamisha, they were only five Tzvachim. Now, so the Gemara says, Al Daited Remei, according to the opinion of Remei, which is what Rabbi Yechon is going like, Do Amar Ba'amma Shel Vav Tvachim Hoya Aron Asas. That comes out that the Aron was made out of six Tvachim Amas. So what does it come out? Arka Shel Aron Tesvav Tvachim. The length of the Aron, it comes out, was 15 Tvachim. Why? Because it says the Pasuk in Shemais, Amasayim V'chatzi Arka, that the length was 2.5 Amas. So if you make the calculations based on how we just explained, that everything, even the Kelim, were Amas, that was six Tvachim Amas, so you have Amsa Ashisa, one Amma is six Tvachim, Va'amsa Ashisa, then the second Amma is another six Tvachim, that's 12 Tvachim, Upalgas Amsa, then the other half of Amma is Tlasa, is three Tvachim, comes out to a total of 15 Tvachim. Now, Va'arba Luchis Hayiboy, there were four Luchis, four tablets of the Aser Sedibris that were inside the Aron. Shnaim Shleimim, Vishnaim Shvum, you had the two Luches, which were the complete ones, which were from the second time they were given, and the two broken ones, which were from the first time that they were given, which then Moshe Rabbeinu saw the eagle, and they broke them. It's like it says in the Pasuk, Asher Shibarta, the Luches that you broke, Visamtim Baron, and you should put into the Aron. Now what that means is, because the words Asher Shibarta that you broke are extra, that comes to teach you that even the broken ones should be placed into the Aron. So you have all four Luches, two whole ones, two broken ones, in the Aron, in the Ark. Now, haluchas hayu kol echad ve'echad arkei vav tvachim. The luchas, each one had a length of six tvachim. Rachba, its width, and the girsa here is changed throughout the Gemara based on the girsa of the Vilna Gaon, that shloisha, the width was 3 tvachim, not 6 tvachim. So you had a length of 6 tvachim, a width of 3 tvachim. Now, in this other part of the girsa is also changed, v'sein, not archman, rather rachvan. V'sein rachvan shaluchas, you put the width of the luchas, la'arka shalaron, on the length of the aron. So you take 3, which is, that's the width of them, times 4 of them, that comes out to 12. So nishtar yisham shloisha tvachim, you left, in the length of the aron, you left with an area of 3 tvachim, and that's because again the 4 luchas took up a width of 12 tvachim. We continue to amid beis, and therefore you left in the leftover from the 15 minus 12 is left with 3 tvachim. Now the Gemara says 10 mehem. So now you take from those leftover 3 tvachim, chatzi tefach l'chol kaisel. Each wall takes up a width of a half a tefach, and that is because the measurement of amasayim v'chetzi arkai, of 2.5 amas of its length, was from the outside. So, but the walls are considered part of that measurement. So nishtar shnei tvachim, so you left with 2 tvachim. That was l'sever Torah. That was for the purpose of the sever Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, as it says in the Torah, v'yichtav Moshe satara. That was placed in the remaining 2 tvachim of the yard. So that explains the dimensions of the length of the yard. Now, rach b'shal aron, tisha tvachim, the width of the aron was 9 tvachim. How do we know that? The Chassidus says in the Pasuk in Shemais, ama v'chitzi rach, but that its width was an am and a half. So you have the calculations, amsa shisa, the one ama is 6 tvachim, upalgas amsa, and the other half of ama is tlasa, is 3 tvachim, that comes out to a total of 9 tvachim. Now, as we said before, v'arba luchis hayibay, there were 4 luchis inside the aron. Shnayim shleim, shnayim shvurim. You have 2 whole ones, 2 broken ones. The Silik says in the pasuk, "Asher shibarta b'sam the aron." The ones that you broke, you should put inside the aron. So haluchis hoyikol echad ve'echad. As we said before, each one was arkan shisha tvachim, had a length of 6 tvachim. V'rachban, and here the girs is shleisha tvachim. Its width was 3 tvachim. So 10, and the girs is 10 arkan shaluchis. So you put the length of the luchis l'rach b'shalaron to the width of the aron. So nishtar sham shleish tvachim, you left with 3 tvachim because you have 9 tvachim minus the 6 tvachim of the length of the luchis. That's left with 3 tvachim. So chatzi tefach mekan lekaisel zeh. So a half a tefach goes for that wall. V'chatzi tefach mekan lekaisel zeh, and then a half a tefach for the other wall. So then you left with 2 tvachim. V'tvachayim l'shilut makim shesefer Torah munach. So then you left with 2 tvachim, which gives you room to be mobile, to move around the luchas that are stuck in the area of 12 tvachim. As the Gemara says elsewhere, that it's very difficult for something to be in the exact area that it's supposed to have. So you need room to maneuver to get the Sefer Torah out. So therefore, that's what the extra 2 tvachim on the width are for, to be able to move things around. That was the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan, based on the opinion of Rabbi Meir, that the Aron had the measurements of 6 tvachim amas. Pshimon Lakashama, he argues. Says the aron was bi amabas chamisha tfachim hoya aron asay. The aron was made out of 5 tfachim amas. Now the Gemara asks, man tana ba amabas chamisha tfachim. Who is the tana that says that the aron was made out of a measurement of 5 tfachim amas? That's Rabbi Yehuda, the Tanin and Taman, as we learned over there in the Mishnah, which we record on Amud Aleph. Rabbi Yehuda says, amas habinyan shisha. You're right, the amas of the building of the Beis HaMikdash was made out of 6 tfachim amas. But shalakelim, the movable things, the utensils, they were made out of 5 tvachim amas. V'ha'an aron klihu, and the aron is a vessel, it's not a building, and therefore it's made out of 5 tvachim amas. Now, so the Gemara says, based on this, al daita Rabbi Yehuda, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, du'amar comes out, ba'ama shal chamisha tvachim hayaharka asa, so it comes out that the ama was made out of its length, out of 5 tvachim amas. So it comes out, shneim asr tefach amechze, it was 12.5 tvachim, its length. The Chassidus says in the pasuk in Shemais that we quoted before, amasayim v'chetzi arkay, its length was 2.5 amas. So the calculations come out, amsa chamisha, the one amma is 5 tvachim, the amsa hey, and the other amma is 5 tvachim, that's 10. Upalgas amsa, and the other half of amma is treyapalgi, is 2.5. So it comes out for a total of 12.5 tvachim is its length. Now, as we said before, v'dalid luchas hayibay, there were 4 luchas inside the aron. Shnayim shleim, shnayim shvurim. There were 2 complete ones and 2 broken ones. The Chassidus, like it says in the pasuk, "Asher shibarta v'sam d'barim," that even the broken ones were put inside the aron. V'haluchas hayikol echad v'echad arkan shisha tvachim. As we said before, the luchas, each one had a length of 6 tvachim. V'rachban, the girsa is shleisha tvachim. Its width was 3 tvachim. Now 10 rachban, as we said before, not arkan. Ten rachba and shaluchas, so you put the width of the luchas, la arkan shal aron, along the length of the aron. V'nishtar yisham chatzit tevach. Now all you left, and according to this opinion, is a half a tevach, because we said that the length was 12 and a half tvachim, minus the 12 tvachim that the luchas take up. You left with a half a tevach, which is etzba l'koysel mikan, that one wall, he argues, not that it was a half a tefach, but rather the width of the wall of the aron was a finger breadth, which is a quarter of a tefach, and then the other half of the tefach, which is the etzba, a quarter of a tefach, the etzba l'koysel mikan, and then the other wall took up another finger breadth, which that left no more room for the length of the aron. Now, ruch b'shal aron, it comes out that the width of the aron was shiva tefachim mechza, was seven and a half tefachim. So like it says in the pasuk, am avachitzi rachbe, that its width was an am and a half, which comes out, am sechamsho, one amma is five tvachim, upalgas am setrei apalgi, and then the other half of amma is two and a half, which comes out for a total of a seven and a half tvachim. Now, vidal luchas hayibah, as we said before, there were four luchas inside, shnayim shleim, shnayim shvurim, two a whole, two are broken, that's simply like it says in the pasuk, asher shibartim esam d'aron, which are broken, you put inside the aron. Now, haluchas hayikol echad ve'echad, as we said before, the luchas, each and every one was arkan shish tvachim, had a length of six tvachim. V'rachman, and its width, and the gears is shleish tvachim, the width was three tvachim. Now, ten, and the gears is not rachman, but rather arkan l'rach b'shalaron. So you put the length of the luchas along the width of the aron. V'nishtar sham shish sham tefach amechzis. Now, you're left from the seven and a half, minus the six tvachim of the length of the luchas, you're left with a tefach and a half. So etzba l'koysel mikan, as he said before, this opinion holds that the width of the walls of the aron were an etzba, which is a finger breadth, a quarter of a tefach for one wall. The etzba l'koysel mikan, then the finger breadth for the other wall. So you're left with chatzi tefach, so you're left with a tefach, which is chatzi tefach mikan. You have a half a tefach from one side, v'chatzi tefach mikan, a half a tefach on the other side, l'shilut, which that's the amount that, according to this opinion, was left to be able to maneuver things around. Now the Gemara continues with the aron, and that is, once we mentioned the order of the luchas, how it fit into the aron, so now the Gemara actually discusses the making of the aron itself. So the Gemara says, kitzit asa b'tzalas aron, how did b'tzal make the aron? What was the structure and the organization of the aron? So the Gemara says, Reb Chanina Amar says, Shalosh Tevis Asa. He said, his opinion is, that it was made out of three different boxes. Shtaim Shel Zav, two of them were gold, V'acha Shel Eitz, and one of them was made out of wood. And how was that done? Nasin Shel Zav B'Shel Eitz, he put one gold one inside the wooden one, and then B'Shel Eitz B'Shel Zav, and then the wooden one inside the gold one. So the middle wooden one was concealed by the gold one that was inside of it, and the gold one that was on top, that was outside of it, v'tzipo, and then he covered the rim with gold. The siv, like it says in the pasuk, as follows. It's a pasuk in Shemais that says, v'tzipisi oisai zavtar, you should cover it with pure gold. Mibayis umichutz, it should be covered from the inside and the outside with gold. Now, the way it comes out is because the wooden one is in the middle, and then they put it inside a gold one, and then they put a gold one inside of that wooden one. And so therefore, and then they would cover the rim on the top of the wooden one, which you could see between the two boxes that it's inside of and outside, and what's outside of it, they cover that rim on the top with gold too. So you see that it's covered mibayis umichutz. Now matam alomitetz apena. We know that it's covered from inside and outside with different boxes. But what is when it repeats again? It already said b'tzipisa. What does it mean when it says again that you should cover it with gold? Lehevi svasoyon. That comes to include the outer rim, that even that little part of the wooden box that you could see between the boxes, that it's what's inside of it, what's outside of it, that even that little wood should not be recognizable, that even that should be covered with gold. However, Reb Shimon Lakashama, he argues, he says, Tiva achas asay v'tzipahu, there was one box, not three boxes, and that one wooden box was covered with gold. The Chassid says in the Pasuk, v'tzipisa oisay zavtar, that wooden box should be covered with pure gold, mibayis amchutz, from the inside and the outside. Now, according to this opinion, matam alimitit zapendo, what does it mean that it should be covered? It can't mean the rim, because the rim is no different than the rest of the box, which we covered with gold. So Amar Pinchas, Lehivi bein nesel nesel. What it means to include is between the different planks of the wood, which means to say that you should view it as one. And you shouldn't be able to recognize as if it's different pieces, that it's wood covered with gold. Rather, it should look like one uniform box of gold. That was the purpose of saying and repeating Titzapeno. Now the Gemara continues that now that we discussed the measurement of the luchis and of the aron and how they were made, now the Gemara discusses the actual writing of the luchas. So the Gemara has Ketzad Haya Luchas Ksubim. How were the Luchas written? So you have many different opinions. Reb Chanina ben Gamliel, he says, Chamisha Aluach Zeh, there were five of the Aseres Adibris that were on one tablet, V'chamisha Aluach Zeh, and five on the other tablet. This as it was written in the Pasuk in Devarim, that says, V'yichtevei Mashnei Luchas Abanim, that these Aseres Adibris should be written on the two different tablets, which the drasha is that it sounds like you should have the 10 split up amongst the two different ones, which is because the meat, the least amount when it says luchas plural is 2. So what does it say 2? To say that the 2 should be equal means you have 5 on one and 5 on the other, and that's how most people view the luchas, that having 5 on one, 5 on the other one, chamisha luch zeh v'chamisha luch zeh. However, that's only one out of four opinions about how the luchas were written. Rabbanan, read the Rabbanan say, there's actually asara luch zeh, you had 10 on one of the tablets, v'asara aluach zeh, and then the same 10 on the other tablet. This is what the pasuk means when it says over there, v'yaged lechem es brisoi, that he will tell you his covenant, asher tziva eschem lasa, that has commanded you to do, aseres hadvarim, the 10 things, which these are what's called aseres hadibros. Now, it says in the pasuk that v'yichtevim, you should write it al shnei luchas avonim, on the two stone tablets, which sounds like you should have 10 on each stone tablet, because if not, what's it repeating, aseres hadvarim? We know that these are the 10 should be split on the 2, which is 5 and 5. Must be that, no, each 10, each Aseres HaDibros, were written on each of the 2 luchas. Asara luach zeh, v'asara aluach zeh. Each of the Aseres HaDibros were written on each of the luchas, comes out for a total of 20. Pshim ben Yichai Aymer, he has a third opinion. He says, Esrim aluach zeh, 20 on this one, v'esrim aluach zeh, and 20 on the other one. So like it says in the Pasuk, V'yichtevim al shnei luchas avanim, that it should be written on the 2 stone tablets. Now, v'yichtevim, they should be written in the plural, the extra mem, sounds like you should write it 2 times on each tablet, which is esrim aluach zeh, 20 on this tablet, v'esrim aluach zeh, 20 on this tablet. And that is, and how is that 20 on each one? Which means to say you had 10 written on one side of the tablet, and then on the other side of the tablet written on the same 10. And then on the other tablet, it also had the same thing, 10 on one side of the tablet and 10 on the other side of the tablet. Finally, the fourth opinion, Reb Simo Amar, he just says, Arba Maluch Zeh, there were 40 on one tablet, V'arba Maluch Zeh, 40 on the other tablet, for a total of 80. So still, like it says, the Pasuk in Shemais, it says, Mizeh u'mizehim kesum, that they were written from this and from that side, which he holds like Rav Shimon Ba'yichai, which is that it was written from both sides. But what he's adding on with his drasha from Mizeh u'Mizeh is that on each side, that each side of that tablet, in other words, there were 2 columns on each tablet, on each side of the tablet. So therefore you had 10 on one side, and Mizeh on the other side had 10. Now on the other side, if you flip around, there was 10 on one side, and then Mizeh 10 on the other side. That was for a total of 40 on that. And then the other tablet also had the same thing, which had another 40. And therefore, you had tetraiga. You had tet, as always means 4. You had 4 time fold on each luach to make 40 on one luach and 40 on another luach. Now the Gemara continues on this and says, Chananya ben Achi Reb Yeshua Omer, who is the nephew of Reb Yeshua, he said, being called Dibur v'Dibur, between every one of the Aseres HaDibros, truthfully, the reason why the Aseres HaDibros were given, which is famously known, is because all the mitzvahs in the Torah are included in the general categories of the Aseres HaDibros. And therefore, between each one of the 10 commandments, dikdukeho v'yaseh shel Torah, were the details and the letters of the Torah, because they're really all included. Miraculously, it was there because it was demonstrating that they were all included in the Aseres HaDibros. So like it says in the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Mimula'um b'tarshish, they were filled in with tarshish, which means both precious diamonds, and also it's a reference to one of the seas. Kiyam rabba, like a great sea. As a pasuk says, the idea of wisdom, of Torah, being referred to as a sea, it says, Umola ha'aretz, day that the earth will be filled up with wisdom. Kamayim layam achasim, covered with like the waters of the sea. That's the idea from what this pasuk is referring to, that in the luchis, had all the sea of the Torah was all there written between each one of the Aseres HaDibros, had all the pratim and dikdukeim and anfeim of the Torah were all written there. So the Gemara explains that Reb Shimon ben Lakish, kad hava mati hadin karya, when he would reach this pasuk in Shir HaShirim hava amma, he would say, Yafalam deini Chananya ben Achi Reb Yeshua, he taught me very well the explanation of this pasuk, because it says that it was like a great sea. Mahayam hazeh, just like this sea, being galgodol legalgodol, that between the great waves, there's many large waves in the sea, but between them are gal and katam, are small waves. Kach bin kol dibe v'dibe, so too between each one of the seres adibis, which are the large waves, dikdukeo v'yisisel shoter, were the details and the letters of the Torah, because again, the seres adibis were general categories, and they're called the great waves. And between them, the dikduki Torah and the dibe seferim, they are the small waves, and that's the same idea that we said, that they were all there on the luchis. Now, related to what we were discussing before regarding the measurements of the Aron and the luchis that were inside of it, it comes out, based on that machlekes or man Rabbi Yehuda, which is the machlekes of Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, is if there was room for the Sefer Torah or not, as we demonstrated, that based on the opinion of Rabbi Meir, it was very long, so there was room for the extra two tvachim that were left over in the length of the Aron for the two tvachim of the Sefer Torah. According to Rish Lakish, according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, there was no such room because it was much smaller, and therefore it was very tight, and it was just enough for the luchas. So based on this, the Gemara says as follows, Amr Ptun Tchuma, Iskashis Kumi Reb Pinchas, he asked the following question to Reb Pinchas. It says, Asti Kreb Yehuda, V'las Kreb Meir, it comes out really, like very well according to the opinion of Reb Yehuda, but not according to the opinion of Reb Meir, because my time to read, what's the reason of Reb Yehuda, that the way he demonstrated the structure and the spacing of the Aron, that only the luchas took up all the space inside, and that means the Sefer Torah, the Moshe Rabbeinu Baruch, was not inside. The Chassidim because it says a pasuk in Devar, it says Lekoyach es Sefer Torah, is that take this Sefer Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote, the Samtum Oisim Mitzad Aron Bris Hashem Begrim, and put it on the side of the Aron that has the covenant of Hashem inside of it, which means to say that it was not inside, it was on the side, and that makes very well sense according to Rabbi Yehuda, because there actually was no room according to him the way he. As we explained before, and therefore it was on the side. So al daita Rabbi Yehuda du Amar comes according to Rabbi Yehuda that what is being said is to explain the pasuk that you're putting it on the side is because heichen hoya hasefer Torah nasan, where was the sefer Torah placed? It was kamin gluska yo asulam mebuchadz, like some type of a box that was made on the outside of the aron. Vahoya sefer Torah nasan b'teich, and the sefer Torah was placed inside of it, but it wasn't inside of it because, as we said, there was no room. But that's difficult according to Reb Meir, because according to Reb Meir, it wasn't put on the side, it was put inside. So how do we understand Reb Meir's opinion? So then the Gemara says, my time with Reb Meir, what's the source for Reb Meir's opinion that he says that it was actually put inside and not on the side? The Chassidim, because it says a pasuk in Shemais, it says, v'nesateh ha-kaparis, you should put the kaparis, which is the covering of the aron on top of the ala aron melmala, on top of the aron on the top. And then it says, v'lo aron titun esa'edus, that inside the aron you should put the edus, which is the testimony, which is a reference to the Torah, asher etin lecha, that I will give to you. Now, the difficulty is, it should have written in the other way. It should have first written that ve'al oren titin esedus, that into the oren you put the testimony, the Sefer Torah, and then it should have said v'nesat as a kabaris. Then you put on the cover. How could you put on the cover and then put in the Sefer Torah? So it must be, and this is the raya of Reb Meir, that the edus that the pasuk is talking about is a reference to the Sefer Torah. That it's saying that is placed inside of the Aron. That was only done at the end of the 40 years that the Jews were in the desert, which the Kaparis had already been put on the Aron earlier, right there in the beginning of the desert when they had the Luchas inside of it. And therefore, the Gemara, Reb Meir is proving that it must be that it was put inside of it, because if it was a reference to the Luchas, you don't put on the cover and then put in the Luchas, you put in the Luchas and the cover. Must be after the cover is put on, 40 years later, then they put the Edus, the Sefer Torah, and it says you put it inside of the Aron. However, the Gemara says, Al Daiti, and the Girsa is, not to Reb Meir, but rather to Reb Yehuda, comes at Al Daiti Reb Yehuda do Amar, what he has to say, how does he explain the Raya of Reb Meir? It seems clearly that after the cover was already put on, when the Luchas were in, then you put the Edus, the testimony, the Sefer Torah inside, not on the side, you have to say, Ein Mukdim Umu'ucha Batar, there is no order, specifically of chronological order, in the Torah, and that is, Ella, rather the truth is, the way you have to read it, was Ve'ala Oren Titan Esa'edus Asha'etin Alacha. Really, the first thing that happened was, you're right, the first into the Oren was placed the Edus, which is reference to the Luchais. Ve'achach, and then afterwards only happened, V'nesat Esa'kaparis Al Oren Mamal, and then only later, you're right, the cover was placed on top of the Oren. But it's not true that, it's not the Edus, it's not a reference to the Sefer Torah, that was put in afterwards. Rather, Edus is a reference to Luchais, because the Sefer Torah, as Rabbi Huda's opinion is, was only placed mitzad Aron Bris Hashem, was only placed on the side, as we demonstrated before. There actually was no room, according to Rabbi Huda's opinion, to even have the Sefer Torah inside. Now the Gemara concludes this whole discussion, that once we spoke about the Sefer Torah, it was put inside the Aron, or outside of the Aron, so now it explains actually how the Torah was given to the Jewish people originally. So the Gemara concludes, Reb Pechas b'shem Reb Shimon ben Lakish says, HaTorah shenosna HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe, this Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe, nosna loy esh levana, was given to him in the form of white fire, which that alludes to the secrets of the Torah, like the Livnas HaSaper, the sapphire bricks, which that's an allusion to the Sistri Torah, to the secrets of the Torah. So it was given as white fire, charusa be'esh chayra, that was then carved in, engraved into that white fire, was black fire, dark fire. And the explanation is because he esh. The Torah is fire, which is muvlelis be'esh, which is mixed with fire. Or another gear says muchlelis be'esh, that is, it's included from fire. And that is based on the pasuk that says ladavkaba, that one should attach himself to Hashem, which the question is, can one attach themselves to Hashem? But it's Hashem is a consuming fire. Rather, what it means is that if someone should attach himself to the Torah and to those that learn the Torah, and what this is a reference to, it's the chelik of the halachis of the rischa deraisa, which means that when someone learns the halachis, the actual physical embodiment of the Torah, as the pasuk says, haloi koy devar akesh, that my words are like fire, and that's what it means that it's muchlelis, that it's inclusive. That means to say that it's inclusive of that fire, which means say it gets the sources from that fire. Now it's also chatsuva me'esh, it's hewn from fire. Now what that means is to say that the Torah is enclosed in the source of the souls of the Jewish people, which they are the clothing, so to speak, of the treasure of the Torah itself. They are a physical embodiment, and that's because a person's soul and the neshama is a chelik lekamimal, is so to speak like a piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which these are the three parts of the Torah, as it's well known, is that Yisrael v'arayis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chadu, there's the Jewish people, there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's the Torah, which these are the three different components that the Gemara is talking about, and v'nesunah me'esh, that it was given from fire, and that is at the time of the giving of the Torah, the main giving was done with fire. Tachsev, as it says in the pasuk, this pasuk embodies these three components that we're talking about in the Gemara, miminoi, from his right hand, meaning a reference to Hashem's metaphorical right hand, which is a reference to the white fire, which is the right is always symbolizing chesed, kindness. From his right hand was esh, which was fire, which is that correlates to the black fire, which is the halachic components, is adas lamai, is a law for his nation. Now, interestingly, the Vilna Gaon says that das lamai are the same letters of Talmud, of the Gemara, which is lamai, which was given to us. We learn the physical embodiment of the halachis, of which are the black fire. And that's also attached to our neshamas, which are lamai. And it also is going on mimina of Hashem's right hand, which is attached to him. And that's all the three components, as we said. There's the Yisrael component, there's the Eraisa component, which is the black fire, which is the halachas that we learn. And there's the white fire. There's the allusion to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the secrets of learning Hashem, so to speak, himself. That's how we attach Ladav Kavai. Those are the three components of Yisrael, of Eraisa, the Kudzu Shabarichu. That's how the Torah was given, Eish Levana, Al Gabi Eish Chayra, and given with the souls of the Jewish people who are from the Tchilik El Kamimal.